Well, I haven't got a reason to change the order of the service here, so I just have to preach. I think that's all I got to do. Well, I don't mind telling you tonight that I was having a struggle today about what we're going to talk about tonight. And my wife was praying for me, and she had some suggestions too. I think perhaps what we're going to talk about tonight might be also tomorrow morning. And so we're hoping that by God's grace we may be instructed in righteousness, really happy in the Lord Jesus, and committed to do what He wants us to do and to be what He wants us to be. And if that happens, it doesn't get better than that. I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on that theme tomorrow morning, possibly longer. But the Holy Spirit is a big item in the New Testament. But we don't hear very much about the Holy Spirit, although the New Testament and the Gospels, the Epistles, and even the book of the Revelation is packed full of information and encouragement and instruction in the Holy Spirit. And so that's why I decided to begin that tonight. So let's read John 14, verse 16 and 26. John 14, chapter 16. Let's go to 14 to start. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And that is our starting scripture for tonight. The word used in the New Testament for the Holy Spirit is a helper. It mentions that it's equivalent to that the helper, the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, one to come alongside to help in time of need, someone to befriend you. In the Greek word, it is Parakletos. In the New Testament, he is described as another helper. And why is that? Because when the Lord Jesus came and died on the cross and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scripture, and then was glorious, received back into heaven, what the Bible tells us with great joy is that when the Lord Jesus accomplished the salvation on the earth, he went back to heaven. And he sent the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit. And that's a wonderful, wonderful part of Scripture. And we're going to trace some of that over the next couple of sessions. Replacing the Lord Jesus after the Savior returned to heaven. And that's in John 14, verse 16. In the normal Christian life, we all have our share of problems. That's where we get those ladies coming and going and the men not going and coming and all the apologies we have to make. There's all sorts of problems and struggles and temptations and other things. And whatever they may be, the Holy Spirit has the grace and the wisdom and the power to meet our need. And that's a wonderful thing. It's unfortunate that the abuse of the teaching of God the Holy Spirit into rather bizarre stuff and into things that cannot be supported by Scripture has taken our minds off dealing with God the Holy Spirit, His person and His work, and all the wonderful things that the Bible tells us of God the Holy Spirit. It just gives me joy in my heart and a real sense of blessing when I get a chance to read and sometimes, but not often, talk about God the Holy Spirit as our helper. And the Bible reminds us in 1 Corinthians 12:13, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's every believer in this room tonight. Whether you know it or not, every believer in Jesus Christ, the Scripture said, we are all baptized into one body. I not uncommonly, if we're dealing with a subject like this, find people come up afterwards and say, I never knew that. I don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. Or some will come up and they'll have a menagerie of things they've been taught, and they've got all things written in their pocket, and they bring it out, and you would never dream that what they were writing in their notes from wherever they're learning this, that it's coming from the Word of God. But it's a beautiful subject. We have a beautiful Savior. We have somebody that has come, and when the Father and the Son are in heaven, the Holy Spirit is on earth, and He's with us forever, and He's not going to leave us, and He's eventually, and it may be soon, He's giving us back to the Father and the Son, and we're going to have the wonderful blessing of the Holy Spirit handing us over to the Lord Jesus, and we're going to be eternally blessed with all the functions of God the Holy Spirit. Well, as normal Christians, we all have our share of problems and struggles and temptations and other things. Whatever they may be, the Holy Spirit has the grace and wisdom and power to meet our need. And we'll indicate these as we go through it. Point number one, as I thought of them this afternoon. Number one, He helps us walk straight. I don't know how better to put it, but that's what the Bible tells us, that the Holy Spirit walks straight. And that is what we're going to deal with first. The New Testament calls the Christian life a walk. And so the Bible says, 1 John 1:7, walk in the light. One of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to take the authoritative Word of God and the Holy Spirit, and that we walk in the light. And that is one of the functions the Holy Spirit wants us to be careful with. We walk in the light as He is in the light. And we're going to find out how powerful and how important that is. 1 John 1:7. The Bible says we walk by faith. And that's another thing that is so important with the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Ephesians 5:2 says we walk in love and in newness of life. And Romans 6:4 goes on to tell us it's the work of the Holy Spirit, that these things are part of God's plan. The New Testament calls the Christian life a walk. The New Testament says that all our walking is to be done by the Spirit. As we walk through this world in the power of God the Holy Spirit, that when we walk and do the will of God, it is in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, stuff you see on television, and a lot of the things that clutter my library, we aren't having people who are coming and saying how gracious God is and how He is helping us and in our walk. And we're told here and throughout all of the New Testament that the Holy Spirit walks straight. And we would not be bombarded with a lot of the stuff that Scripture does not justify in the way it's given to us in television and radio and a whole lot of books and pamphlets and things like that. And I want you to know that walk of the Lord Jesus and how He tells us about the Holy Spirit, it is to be a blessing to us. So the New Testament says that all our walking is to be done by the Spirit of God, Galatians 5:16. In a wicked and a perverse generation, Philippians 2:15. It is a wicked and a perverse generation. But we have the truth in the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit is truth. And He takes the things of Christ and applies them to our lives and gives us great joy in the truth that comes from the Word of God on the subject of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. The second thing is the New Testament says that the beginning of our Christian life is the work of the Holy Spirit, Titus 3:5. Verses 4 to 6, actually. Let's turn to that. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. Titus chapter 3. We'll keep going till it appears in my Bible here. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. But when the kindness of God our Savior, I like that that phrase, the kindness of our God and Savior. What a wonderful thing to be a friend of God. And the Bible says that when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Isn't that a wonderful piece of prose that are there about the work and the person of the Lord Jesus? So the New Testament there says that the beginning of our Christian life is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's called a regeneration. He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Because of this, we have, as Christians, a new birth and a new nature, a new life. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Now, 2 Peter 1:9 says we have been purged from our old sins. Ephesians 4:24 says, we have had put on a new man. Revelation 2:17 says a new name written down in heaven. And Romans 6:4 talks about walking in newness of life. And these are the functions of God the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer from the time of their conversion until they're called home to be with the Lord Jesus. There's so many things we would have a week to really stop and look at them in detail, but we're going to be looking at them in a little later tonight in detail. The motivation for all of this is not the threat of pain and punishment like the Old Testament and the Greek or Roman society of the New Testament times, but it is the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Remember that the Holy Spirit lives in us. And we live our lives, and I think we spend a lot of our Christian time and our adventures and things like that. And when the Lord Jesus went back to heaven, the Holy Spirit came to dwell in us. When you walk in these streets here and you go home for supper and you go to work and you do something, that whatever it may be, if the Bible is true and as it is, then you have the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, living in your mortal body. Does that change anything in your life? Does He give you comfort and strength? Do we disappoint Him? Sometimes we do, but He never leaves us or forsakes us. And some of the teaching of the Holy Spirit in relation to the individual Christian is powerful and happy and important, but we don't teach much about it. So as in the Old Testament times, the Holy Spirit visited the Old Testament saints. Not commonly, but He did, and He came and went. Now He abides with us forever. He abides with you now, but He shall live in you forever. And that is what is the sort of a little introduction to tell you that He walks straight. He lives in us, but He has a powerful opportunity to do these. He intercedes for you, comes alongside to help you. And what a beautiful thing it is when you're a Christian and you're facing the evil one, you're up against it with the things that are happening to you that could shake your faith. Or in my case, very often when I was in medical school and way up in northern Russia, where there was only people who despised God in every way. And when we had a chance to talk with them, they were antagonistic and opportunists. And I realized that when they asked me questions, they were trying to put me in a place where they could mock me and they could put down the Lord Jesus. And it was a wonderful thing that they are there and we wanted them to know Jesus Christ. But I had the Holy Spirit living in me and I told them that He is with me always. And what a wonderful thing that a Christian can look in the mirror and say, by God's grace, God the Holy Spirit lives in my mortal body. Do you ever think about that? It's appropriate to get up in the morning and have a little talk with God the Holy Spirit. Thank them that He's the third person of the Trinity, God the Spirit, that He's there to love us and care for us and direct us and help us and guide us. And His deeds are beyond our salvation, are momentous. But there comes a time when He is going to hand us back to the Father, and He's going to deliver us into the kingdom of God in heaven, and we're going to be blessed forever. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Oh, if we had time tonight, but we may tomorrow morning cover it. And we would find out there that He has all sorts of functions. And He has a deadline when He's going to be handing the body of Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ. He's going to usher them into eternity. And we're going to find out, as we've never had before, just how wonderful is His function as He walks straight through the problems of life and the opportunities He has to strengthen us in the Lord Jesus. Number two is, He equips us for service. He equips us for service. I was going to talk a bit about why He equips us for service, and whether He does it at our request, or whether He does it at His wish. And I'm convinced after going through that this afternoon in the cabin, that there's evidence from Scripture that the Holy Spirit is the one who equips us for service, and it is by the will of God and the purposes of God, and He knows our need, and He does it so graciously. The Holy Spirit gives every believer that new life at least one spiritual gift. I don't know whether we're going to get past the Holy Spirit the rest of the week, but I think we'll have to. The Holy Spirit gifts believers in Jesus Christ. Don't have to be people who are steeped in the Word of God. The newest Christian who comes off from his knees and receives Jesus Christ as our Savior. The Holy Spirit, one of His first interests in the life of a believer, young, old, or medium, or man, or woman, or boy and girl, is that the Holy Spirit equips every believer with spiritual gifts. Now, later on tomorrow, we will talk about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and a little snippet further in the Old Testament. And I don't hear much teaching about spiritual gifts. But one of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to equip every one of you, as I look in your face tonight, that the Holy Spirit has equipped you with spiritual gifts, whether you use them or not, or know them or not. And so He's the one who equips us for service in the body of Christ until Jesus comes. You'll find this in 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4. It's a very powerful and a very interesting part of the Word of God. And for the last year or two, I've had the privilege of teaching this in our own local church and making it interesting, because we get to Mennonites who come to know the Lord Jesus, and they're sitting in the audience and they don't really hear this at all. And they need to know that when they came to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit entered them, and He loves them, and He cares for them, and He does this. He gives every new believer in Jesus Christ some spiritual gift. There's a lot of people just come into the pews and sit there and leave and come and leave. And there may be some here, and you've never heard some consistent teaching about the fact that God the Holy Spirit has equipped you with spiritual gifts. Now, they're not for your blessing, they're for the blessing of others. And if you haven't come to know and use your spiritual gifts, there's people maybe in your family, or there's people that you know love the Lord, and they're friends here of yours, or members of this congregation in this building tonight, and you've never had the privilege. It's a new thought. That Ephesians 4, Romans 12, and these texts I've given you are telling us that God wants to equip you with spiritual gifts for the edification, the building of the body of Christ and the church on earth. So the Holy Spirit equips us for service, and that's one of the ways He walks with us. and how he blesses it. Every gift is given to build up the body of Christ. It is never to build up your life. It's never given that you can stand shoulders and head above other people. That you can be dramatic and all sorts of things. That you can be important and recognized as such. Because the meekest and calmest and youngest Christian who understands what the Scripture says about the body life of the church is equipping you and me, not that we should be important, but that we should be helpful to people who know the Lord Jesus. Let me ask you, now don't tell me anything out loud, but I'd be pleased to talk to you privately. If you have had no training, no instruction in spiritual gifts being the work of God the Holy Spirit in your life from conversion on, and what they may be like and what they do and how you can have that blessing, but not only the blessing, but how you can have the power and authority to instruct people who need to know the Word of God, and God wants you to understand that He equips us for service, and one of the things is that He gives all of us these spiritual work to know and to do. Spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and Ephesians chapter 4. The third is that He will illuminate the Word of God. He will illuminate the Word of God. When you pick up your Bible and you're reading it through, I don't do a lot of reading of the Bible just from generations to revolution. My wife, she reads the Bible through. She actually does it very faithfully and with a lot of other Bible reading. But the only problem about it, she enjoys it so much and does it so much, I have to keep my eye on whether the beans are burning for supper. But nevertheless, she does that. Now, I don't do that generations to revolutions right through. I like to pick out things that I need to think about and need a blessing from. And lots of my friends, just a little interruption. I am a big fan of accountability. And I have a dear brother. I've known him for a long time. He goes to a different assembly not far from me. I've known him for quite a long time, and I go to a different one. But about once a month, we get together. Now, I'm absent-minded, and Eunice has to remind me when I go into bed that you don't sleep in tomorrow. You're going to be meeting Bob about 7:45 in the morning. And it's not a whole long ways away, but we get together, and we're accountable for each other. I urge people, if you want to be real, we're so closeted in how we feel and how private we are. But especially younger people, but all people who are real Christians, need to be accountable through another believer in Jesus Christ so they can help us think straight and live straight and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And after we've been there for about 2 hours and eaten too much food and drank too many coffees, we pray together and we commit ourselves to the Lord and to His grace. And we have the privilege, if He sees that my life is slipping or my attitude is less than it should be, He has the ability and the authority to kindly tell me that I need to get things straightened out. That is something the Bible supports in a very powerful way. We could finish the night tonight with that theme, but we won't do that. But that is the sort of thing that dignifies our life, that there are people, not only does the Holy Spirit live in us to be a person who helps us and works in us, but He uses God's people to be that kind of a person too. And I am disappointed when I see people winging it along, doing their own thing. They don't want any advice. They don't want any encouragement. They won't want any discouragement. But they understand very little about how the Holy Spirit is involved in the life of other Christians to be a help to us in the Lord Jesus. And that's why the Bible says that he is that kind of a person. He illuminates the Word of God, and He is a helper, and He illuminates the Word of God. 1 John 2:20 to 27. You have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, and you all know. You have no need for anyone to teach you, but His anointing teaches you about all things. And those are the spiritual gifts that I mentioned. And those are things we're responsible to be involved in. And it requires diligent study. 2 Timothy 2:15. But only the Holy Spirit can illuminate your mind so that you take the Word of God and God equips you with spiritual gifts. Now, when you're talking about spiritual gifts, you have to remember that there are spiritual gifts which were initially given by the Lord during the early moments of the church age. And then there are spiritual gifts that had other purposes which were more prolonged but temporary. And most of the spiritual gifts, or about two-thirds of them, are given for our use in being a blessing to God's people, a strengthening of the body of Christ, the encouraging of believers who are new in the Lord. And God wants to use you and your spiritual gift for the blessing of others. And you have to quickly remind young people who are interested in some spiritual gifts that they aren't going to be equipped with things that they just choose off the top of their head. That's God the Holy Spirit. And those three chapters in the New Testament tell us that they don't all include every one of the gifts. Some will include some gifts, some other gifts, and some other gifts again. And you just have to humbly ask the Lord Jesus to equip you with a spiritual gift, one or more, as time goes by, and in His wisdom He is wishing to do. He does it by His desire, and He does it for your blessing, and that you may be a benefactor to people in the body of Christ, especially in smaller local churches. When you get into a big church that is run by a hierarchy, and you don't really have any control over any of those things, then you have to find a place where God places you, or where God uses you, maybe even through the week, that the spiritual gifts God has gifted you with is to the honor of the Lord Jesus, to the building up of the body of Christ, and to stimulate the Word of God in the life of believers in the local church. And these are very important. We'll deal with a few ideas around that perhaps tomorrow morning. Number 4 says He makes the gospel work. He makes the gospel work. John 16:8-11. Only He can convict the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. It's only the Holy Spirit at this particular time in the church age who can convict the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. Now, it's not that the Holy Spirit doesn't know of, and that the Bible, the New Testament, does not include a lot of material on the conviction of the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. But the person of the Godhead who has the ability to convict of sin and of righteousness and judgment is God the Holy Spirit primarily. And I will never forget when I had a father who's now with the Lord Jesus. He was a Bible teacher. He allowed me to go on Thursday nights up into a study and sit there and behave myself and listen. And at the end of about an hour, which he thought was plenty for me and a lot for him, he would allow me to ask a few questions and he would help me. I value my dad in a very powerful way. I'm so grateful that he loved the Lord Jesus and cared for his two boys. I have a twin brother. And so there we were, he was one who would take some simple things that I had no idea of what it meant and taught me some of these things. And I'll never forget the day when he went to be with the Lord Jesus. And I was so grateful as I stood beside him in that casket and knew that one of the last things he ever did for me or told me were the things that have been a blessing to my soul from that time until now. Share the Word of God with your family, with your children, especially your grandchildren. Let them know that the Bible has things that are important for you to understand. And they are God's intention, whatever they may be, as He makes clear what your spiritual gift is or gifts. And as they develop gradually, they need to know the encouragement of you and others like you to be useful in the body of Christ. But it's not unusual. In some of the places I go to speak the Word of God, they don't ask me to speak necessarily on spiritual gifts, but we get into that, and we have a little discussion afterwards, especially with older young people. And when you ask them about their spiritual gifts, they look at you if you're on the moon. Nobody has talked to them about it. Nobody has helped them understand. Nobody has encouraged an appetite in the Word of God and the power of God and the blessing of God, because it's not to be a blessing to you, it's to be a blessing to other people. And that's how the body of Christ grows and thrives and encourages people and keeps them straight and keeps them happy and keeps them thankful for God the Spirit and the Father and the Son. And if this is all news to you, ask God to help you understand it and to begin doing that. Only He can convict the world of sin and righteousness and the judgment. And only He vindicates Christ as Savior because He rose from the dead. Only He can convince that the judgment of God against sinners is real and that Satan has been defeated at the cross and will be judged eternally. John 16, 8-11 gives that in detail, and you might want to think about that a little later. He makes the gospel work. Number five, He gives a sense of security. Security. And we only have about 5 minutes to go and a lot of cover, so we'll pick it up tomorrow and we will deal with some of the things in a more particular way. He gives a sense of security. A lot of people are insecure as Christians. Maybe sometimes I think it's because of their lifestyle and their past. They have had a past that they're not proud of. Even though they're believers in Jesus Christ, they have a lot of guilt about their past Christian life. They do not have a sense of security that in some way their past is bigger than God can deal with. As if He can't forgive our sin. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm so glad that I have a Savior who loves me, and He speaks to my soul in time of need. And when I confess to Him my weakness and my failure, He comes in through the Word of God and the Spirit of God and lets me know that He loves me and He cares for me and He gets me back on track. Has that ever happened to you? Well, if it hasn't, you're different than most people I know. But we have the Spirit of God who gives us that sense of security because He knows our need. He's sealed for the day of redemption, Ephesians 4 and 30. He's going to see us through. The Holy Spirit seals every believer at salvation, as I mentioned. He guarantees your salvation until you are physically, safely taken to heaven. Who's responsible for taking you, a guilty, hell, deserving sinner, cleansed by the blood of Christ, not perfect, not omnipotent, not all wise, not particularly gifted, maybe some things we've never dealt with properly. But the fact is that the Holy Spirit is going to take us and He's going to place us in the kingdom of God's Son. We're going to see Him face to face. We will talk a little later, not tonight, but tomorrow, the next day, about what happens when a Christian is prepared for heaven, and we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema, which we mentioned a little bit yesterday. And we're going to then see that God has provided for our needs, and He forgives our sin, and He leads us into the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. How much He loves us, how much we disappoint Him. But in spite of that, in His wonderful love, He takes us as we are and completely encourages us to be involved in the work of Jesus Christ. He is the earnest of our salvation. We read also in some of these other verses, the Holy Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we unconditionally belong to God. You know that Scripture teaches this. It sounds like magic to some of our young people, that the Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we belong to Jesus Christ, and He knows our need, and He ministers to our abilities and to our feelings, and He wants all the time to see His love to us through Jesus Christ. He wants us to love the Lord Jesus. He also wants us to deal with our failures and our losses and our need. But what a wonderful Savior. And if you haven't enjoyed some of these things, maybe we're playing catch-up. Maybe we are not really understanding the function of God, the Holy Spirit. He is a down payment, a guarantee. And some of the verses I have written out here, I haven't got time, but our time is gone. So we're going to talk tomorrow about He prays for our needs. He dignifies our lives, and He does a lot of things. And then we'll move on to the administrator of the Church of Jesus Christ, of which He is the administrator. And the Holy Spirit is the sense in which we have these blessings. I don't feel in the pressure of today that I have had time to in detail, because we run against time all the time. But some of these things deserve days and weeks of investigation of the Word of God, of what God is willing to do if we know it and let Him, and how He wants to use us in all of our need, our weakness, and our failure to be the kind of person, the father and the mother, and whatever else you are in the family of God. He wants you to know how to access all the blessings that comes when living in your mortal body is God, the Holy Spirit. So begin to get your Bible out, and I will leave you with some verses for tomorrow, and it will help us know what God is willing to do to people, just simple people like you and me. And it's not something that we understand too well sometimes, because we don't study it. But God, the Holy Spirit, wants to make the most of a sinner saved by grace. And we're going to bow before Him in heaven and thank Him for all that He has meant to us, that the Holy Spirit came into our life at the moment of salvation, and He will never leave us or forsake us. But He's going to hand us over without doubt, without any loss, without any chance of being too bad and difficult for the Holy Spirit, because He's doing the work of God, and He's going to place us in the presence of the Lord Jesus, and He is my Savior. Let's pray. Father, as we think of the wonderful thing that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have all had a place in the function of our lives. Beginning way back in the Old Testament, moving into the time of the beginning of the church age, when the Lord Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and died on the cross, and began the task of building the body of Christ that is going today. And He's back in heaven. He's on the throne. We don't know when He's going to stand from that throne and come for us, but the Holy Spirit knows, and He's prepared to look after that function, and He's going to deliver us safely into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus, for which we thank You. So help us to have a hunger and thirst after that righteousness. And help us want to be all that the God of heaven and the Spirit of God and the Lord Jesus on the throne want us to be, that we honor Him and we use our spiritual lives and our physical lives and our future to glorify the Savior. We thank You in His precious and worthy name. Amen.